You know, there's always a conspiracy theory that involves Israel when it comes to the coronavirus, but there's a lot to talk about in terms of the Jewish world today. We'll do it right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. Delighted to be with you on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Late last night, had a talk with my dear friend Rabbi Shmuley, living right in the outskirts of New York City over in New Jersey, talking about just how crazy the environment is there, the fear that's rising, people dying. Whole lot going on, whole lot to talk about. It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, so our focus is going to be Israel, but of course, coronavirus will be in our view as well. Here's the number to call. Anything Jewish related of any kind, as broadly as you want to paint that, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. For those who are watching, I bet that you have no possible idea why I am dressed up today. I bet if I gave you 100 choices and said you have any book that I've written for free, if you guess it right, I'm almost sure that nobody would get it. Yeah, so you'll find out why soon enough. But anyway, there's some positive things going on always, and God at work always in the midst of storms. So we want to talk about serious stuff today. We want to give you some lighthearted relief as well. We want to talk about important issues. So again, number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me give you a little context, background, larger Jewish understanding. It's natural that every group is focused on its own situation and how a particular development affects that group, right? It's only logical, natural. The group that you're in, okay, how does this economic downturn or upturn affect us? How does this pandemic affect us? How does this political development affect us? How does this new religious law affect us? It's just natural that you're going to think in those terms. Over the centuries, Jewish people have always asked, okay, how is this going to impact us? How is this going to impact the Jewish community? How is this going to affect, quote, the Jewish question? So there's a funny story that's told that illustrates this point. I first heard it about three scientists who went over to India to do an exhaustive study on the Indian elephant, all right? Now, I then heard it with a fourth one added in, an Israeli scientist. So three scientists come to India, and then a fourth is added from Israel. The other three, one from Germany, one from France, one from America. And they're going to do an extensive, exhaustive analysis of the Indian elephant. So after a year of study, the German scientist goes back to Germany, spends a lot of time, puts a book together, and publishes it, 100 Ways to Analyze and Categorize the Indian Elephant. Now, if you know much about German scholarship, it's often very systematic, very encyclopedic, so that, okay, right. Then the French scientist, after a year of study, goes back, spends extensive time, puts together a major book, and publishes The Romantic Life of the Indian Elephant. Yeah, France, right? The American scientist, after a year of study, comes back home, works extensively on putting his book together, and publishes his book on how to make a bigger and better Indian elephant. Yeah, the American mentality. The Israeli scientist comes back after a year of study and then spends a lot of time putting his book together and publishes The Indian Elephant and the Jewish Question. In other words, each one is going to do it in their distinct way, but that's going to be the, all right, so how does the Indian elephant relate to us as Jews? How does it impact Israel? So this is no different today with the virus and with conspiracy theories. This stuff's just going to happen. Now, check this out. After yesterday's broadcast, late last night, I went back to my Facebook page, to my Twitter page, S. Dr. Brown on Facebook, and Dr. as in Dr. Dr. Michael L. Brown on Twitter. And I looked at responses that had come in. I looked more carefully and more detail. some of the responses that had come in when I asked what are some of the oddest theories that you've heard in terms of the origins of coronavirus or how it's being used. I compiled a few of them, which will be in this book that I'm putting together right now, hopefully finishing it tonight, on the coronavirus, the Bible, end of the age. So here's some, just a sampling. Now, some are also from phone calls and videos I've seen. Phone calls came in yesterday and videos, but I just want you to hear this. And I'm not reading these to mock. I'm just letting you know what I've been hearing. Okay. Yeah, Kai, not the headline now, just what I'm going to be reading from my book. That this was, so what caused the virus? Again, I'm reading now a selection of responses on what caused the coronavirus. That this was a dry run to test responsiveness. Bill Gates and his involvement in Event 201, his focus on overpopulation, vaccines, digital tracking, tanking of dollars, etc. I heard this one, I heard this a lot. Some scientists reportedly suggest the source of the COVID-19 virus was a meteor. Chinese and U.S. nanotechnology infiltrated people via forced Chinese vaccines and U.S. chemtrails, and those governments can control whether we live or die as part of a multi-government population control initiative. 200 generals hatched this plot in the aftermath of 9/11 with the goal of destroying pedophile rings. A feminist lawyer is claiming that the coronavirus is, quote, a weapon of the patriarchy, even though the virus is killing more men than women. There will be a chip in the vaccine, preparing the way for a one-world government and ultimately the Antichrist, and if you do some mathematical equation with the word COVID, it creates the number 666. To create a digital currency in order to get rid of the dollar and bring about a one-world currency which ties in with the mark or chip that won't allow you to buy or sell without having it while simultaneously, let me just change something here, while simultaneously bringing about the beloved Antichrist, whom everyone would love, Obama. The European, I'm just sharing some of the stuff that people posted. The European Union would be involved along with progressive politicians in order to reduce internal social expenditure, solve the aging population problem, and repopulate Europe with Islamic immigration in order to satisfy anti-Semitic internal movements, besides stopping Trump. The virus is somehow connected to Satanists in Hollywood who are sacrificing babies to the devil. Leftists are in cahoots with China to ruin our economy and take down Trump so he won't be reelected. The imam in Syracuse, New York, said that COVID-19 is Allah's judgment on us because women show too much ankle. It started with people eating bats in Wuhan. It's an engineered virus based on a known bat virus to ensure China can use to leverage U.S. trade. Goes along with their current stranglehold on prescription medications, much needed by the U.S. Also, the mainstream media has now got their message to not use racist Chinese virus headlines. The virus was designed to sterilize men since it attacks the RNA, since women have double X chromosomes and immunity capability is with that chromosome. Women have a better chance of recovery than men. That the U.S. or Israel created it, quite a popular propaganda message from Chinese and Iranian sources. Obviously, Iran accused Israel and China, accusing U.S. And, of course, the Jews will always get blamed for causing a pandemic. That George Soros created it and that China did it to reduce population. The virus was created to reduce global population because Earth resources can only sustain a certain amount of people. And that it targets older people and immunosuppressed people to make sure the fittest survive the pandemic. The virus was created to be a distraction for an asteroid about to hit Earth and cause total annihilation. The idea is that by creating this distraction and forced shutdown, it keeps people off the streets and unable to create massive civil unrest. It keeps families together until the end as well. The virus was a cover-up for those who were either under house arrest, Canadian PM Trudeau, or in witness protection, who will testify, Tom Hanks, in conjunction with the Jeffrey Epstein case. Yeah, okay. That's just some of what is out there. A couple things could be a bit more believable in terms of how people are reacting and the Bill Gates of the world and their vision or the George Soros's of the world or different governments and what they may be thinking and how they can work together or have a larger agenda or China having an agenda once the virus is out. I mean, some things you can understand, okay, we don't know what caused the virus or how it came about, but here are ways that people are trying to use this situation for their purposes. Yeah, that's what human beings are going to do. But I just wanted you to know more of what is out there. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, some headlines from Israel, starting with Jerusalem Post. Religious leaders, now this is Christian, Muslim, and most particularly Jewish. Coronavirus is punishment and sign of the Messiah's coming. That many leaders are saying that God is judging the world for its sin. Some are giving specific sins. Some are saying it's because of homosexual activism. Some are saying it's because of secularism or extreme environmentalism or all kinds of different things that are being put out. But religious leaders are saying that, Christian, Jewish, Muslim. And many are saying that this is a sign that we are right at the end, that the end is very, very near. Now, my own view is that this is certainly a time of shaking and upheaval. You've got a massive locust plague that's ravaged parts of Africa and could well be coming through Israel around the time of Passover. You'll think of that. Will the plague be stopped? I mean, that's quite a narrative there, is it not? But I do not see this as the end of the age or one of the plagues from Revelation. I see this more as a tremor as we get closer to the end. Here, just a quote or two from a rabbi. Almost all the non-Jewish culture has stopped: academia, education, ministry, leisure, culture, travel abroad. And obviously God's drawing Jewish people back to Torah and observance. A Muslim preacher on Palestinian Authority TV: the coronavirus is one of Almighty Allah's soldiers. Allah is punishing the sinners, those who attack his believers. The true meaning of the epidemics is a trial from Almighty Allah and a punishment, a trial for the believers and a punishment for the sinners. Goes on from there. Hey, I have no issue whatsoever with the idea of God bringing judgment on sinful humanity. In other words, when I say I have no issue, it's not for me to take issue with God. What I mean is, from a biblical theological standpoint, I have no issue with that happening today, even in New Testament times. But you got to be very careful. You got to remember, we talked about this yesterday, Luke 13, where Jesus says, hey, don't look at some people died an unusual death and think, well, they must have been worse sinners than everybody. He says, no, unless you repent, you're all going to perish. That's the state of the human race. We all need mercy. We all need grace. You go through Romans 1, Paul talks about God giving the human race over to their foolishness when they forsook God and chose idolatry. And then he gives us over to the lust of our flesh and sexual immorality and then sexual perversion and then all types of sin and perversion. When you get to the end of the chapter and you read the whole thing, it's like, that's the human race. Can't just point a finger at this group. It's us guilty before God and all of us needing his mercy. All right, we're just getting started. 866-34-TRUTH. Any Jewish-related question of any kind, phone lines are wide open. We'll be right back.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're safe. I hope that you are living in peace in the midst of the storm. Just heard from a friend of mine in New York. He had a colleague he's worked with for years, was doing outreach in New Orleans, came back sick, suddenly very sick, now has passed away of the virus. His wife is in very serious condition. Found out they live not far from where we live, same city, actually. I didn't even know they were here. So a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, but in the midst of this is not time to panic. It's time to trust. It's time to put down deep roots. And look at it like this, friends. Seize the moment. Take advantage of the upheaval. Don't let it just be a longing to get back to normal life. Instead, seize the moment to live differently. I'll give an example. Let's just say that you were out somewhere, had to run up a flight of steps, and to your shock, you were like, you were panting. Okay, that's bad. But now that gives you opportunity to realize, okay, I'm short of breath. Something's going on. I'm just thinking cardio here. It's okay. I got to get in better shape. I can't even get up a flight of steps without being exhausted. That's a bad thing, but then you turn it for good. Same way someone has a heart attack, years of unhealthy living. It's a bad thing, but now they turn it for good. They eat healthily and they extend their lives by 20 years. So let's seize the moment. Seize the moment if you have more free time or more time where you have to be at home or changes in schedule, churches having to do things differently, rather than just saying, oh, drat, this is terrible or this is difficult and it may be financially challenging. Take it all as a divine opportunity. And take this a time also to search heart and mind, because it is a time of sobriety before God. It is a time of recognizing our weakness and frailty. It is a time of looking up and praying and crying out. 866-34-TRUTH. Going to go to the phones in a moment. Another headline, this from the Daily Star. Bats mysteriously drop dead across Israel, quote, fulfilling biblical prophecy. Yeah, I wonder what biblical prophecy that is. The young bats showed no signs of trauma, and some commentators sensationally believe it is a sign of the end of days. Okay, I'm not going to get into that more, but just, hey, remember a few years ago, hundreds, thousands of birds just started dropping out of the sky in the States in a number of different cities? What was that about? So odd things happening. Now, some will have a natural explanation. We just don't know it. And others will have a supernatural explanation. But remember, for centuries, for millennia, people have said it's the end of the world. It's all over. And it hasn't been the end yet. So don't overreact. And if it is the end of the world, then start to lift your head and rejoice. But we're not there yet. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let's grab some calls now. We'll start in Washington with Becky. Welcome to the Line of Fire. You're welcome.
Clallam County, we only have a little bit of outbreak because we only have two borders. We're actually on the Strait of Juan de Fuca in the Pacific Ocean, so it's a good spot to be.
Got it.
But my question, I journal, and so I write down different things as I think, oh, I wonder what the question answer is this. And my question is that, you know, I have a lot of Christian friends that have turned messianic, and then I, of course, you know, there's a lot of Christians that I have, friends that I have that are, you know, don't think anything of, you know, their Jewish roots or that kind of thing. And so I'm just wondering for you, especially with the feast, how do you honor the Lord regard to the feast, you know, especially Passover's coming up here. I've had a few experiences with the Seder dinner. I absolutely love it. But, you know, my Messiah is Jewish, and I absolutely love the Jewish people. But just, you know, wondering from your perspective, and also along in that as well, I've loved the Hebrew language. I have Song Concordance I dig in periodically, and I really love what I find. But I'd like to learn more Hebrew, and just curious, what is the difference between the Old Testament Hebrew and modern Hebrew today?
Got it. All right, so the second question is giant difference between Old Testament Hebrew and modern Hebrew. Just think of the difference between King James English of the 1600s and the English of that day, not even the way it's in our King James Bibles today, which has been changed some, that and contemporary English in 21st century America, well, the gap's going to be much, much, much bigger. So your average Israeli can read much of the Hebrew Bible, the simple narrative and things like that, although some of the vocabulary would be different. But poetic texts and prophetic texts would be much more difficult for them to understand. So I'm super good in biblical Hebrew and pretty weak, especially in speaking modern Hebrew. If you go to the website Hebrew, the number 4 Christians, HebrewForChristians.com, you get a lot of good information there, HebrewForChristians.com. When it comes to Christians identifying more with Jewish roots, maybe joining a Messianic Jewish congregation, maybe celebrating the feasts, if this is something that comes in a healthy way out of their relationship with God, if it is part of their love for Jesus and a healthy recovery of things in a way that keeps their eyes central where it should be, then that's wonderful, great. However it works out, this is not something that we divide over. For others who say, well, the biblical calendar is important, but I see it as prophetically pointing to Jesus, so my focus is on him. And for me, it's more edifying to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus at a special time that we call Easter. Okay, even though it's separated from Passover, it should have been part of the Passover celebration. It's best to do it in conjunction with the Passover celebration. We don't divide over those things. In my own life, when I was part of a Messianic Jewish congregation, we were more careful to be living in harmony with the biblical calendar, but it did not have any more meaning for me personally than simply exalting the Lord every day of my life. And in other words, everyone relates differently. So I believe that the whole body should have an understanding of the significance of the biblical calendar, of the Jewish roots of the faith. They should have an understanding of God's purposes for Israel. But then how it works out in daily life is going to be very different for each person as we live life in the Spirit. And that's all fine within the diversity of the body. Again, it's nothing that we judge one another for, as long as Jesus Yeshua is central and we hold to the foundational doctrines of the faith, then these aspects of practice can vary. What I do believe, again, is important is we understand the spiritual and prophetic significance of the biblical calendar, that we understand the Jewish roots of our faith and God's purposes for Israel. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jeremy in West Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I just had a question. I actually have two questions, if that's okay. But a question is, say you're a Jew, you're living before Jesus even came, so like the Messiah hasn't came yet. What is your view? What were the Jews' view of the Messiah? Was that
lots of different
himself
views?
Coming?
No. There was not a view that God himself was coming, that he was sending someone. He might have been an exalted figure, but he was sending someone, human being. There were various views. Some Jews did not have a clear sense of a messianic hope. Others were expecting several messianic figures, a prophet, and then a priestly messiah, and a royal messiah, the son of David. Some were simply expecting the messiah to come and set the Jewish people free from Rome, so more of a warrior. Some were looking for more of a teacher or a miracle worker. So there were various beliefs, and we don't have a tremendous amount of literature right from that time, immediately before Jesus came into the world. So some of it we have to reconstruct. Some we do have through the Dead Sea Scrolls, what's called the pseudepigraphic literature. And then the later literature of the rabbis, we have to try to see what goes back to that time. But there were various beliefs, just like if I asked you today, what do Christians believe about the second coming? You have, and the millennium, you're going to get lots of different viewpoints. Same with the Jewish people in that day. And second question?
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. The second question is, I've heard people say, like Philippians 2:6, they'll say that in the form of God simply means spirit. But wouldn't that contradict Hebrews 1:14 and imply that we're slaves to angels?
Well, Philippians 2:6, speaking of Jesus existing in the form of God, meaning he was very God, and that's why he doesn't hold on to that right that he had. That's the whole context there. He humbles himself. So it doesn't just mean in spirit. It means in essence he was God, and yet he didn't cling to his divine prerogatives, but rather emptied himself of his divine rights to take on the form of a slave and die for us. Hey, Jeremy, appreciate the question. Here, another headline for you. Times of Israel reports this. Rapper sparks anti-Semitism outcry with Rothschild, Synagogue of Satan lyrics. So Rothschild, that's allegedly these Jewish bankers and wealthy Jews who, of course, Rothschilds were wealthy Jewish bankers, but wealthy Jews who kind of run the whole world, and they've been doing it for a while behind the scenes. So rapper sparks anti-Semitism outcry with reference to Rothschild and Synagogue of Satan. Allegedly, that's what God says about all Jews. They're the synagogue of Satan. And J. Electronica says he stands behind every single word in new album, despite criticism from Jewish radio personality and others. Oh, isn't it interesting? According to this article, he's a friend of Louis Farrakhan. Here's some lyrics. I bet you're a Rothschild. I get a bang for my dollar. The synagogue of Satan want me to hang by my collar. Yep. This is the type of stuff that continues to fuel Jew hatred around the world. Not being paranoid, just this reality. This is reality. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Come on over,
and there have been never been a time when the oligarchs have had more control over our lives. And so it may be that the real message of the coronavirus is that it takes God's hand to break the hold of their hand over all of us. So I think we should be optimistic here. Everything is in God's hands. Logos is rising, and that's good news.
That is Catholic scholar and notorious anti-Semite E. Michael Jones on the Alex Jones Show. And Alex Jones still has a very large internet following. And what he said sounds like it could be making sense. And, you know, God's shaking things, and you've got these would-be powers, these massively powerful behind-the-scenes leaders with their agenda and one world government and these various things. They want to subjugate people and so on, and God is breaking that control, and this is what's happening through the virus. It could sound reasonable, but of course, with E. Michael Jones, you know where it's going to go. So he continues in the discussion and says this.
Now, at this point, what you're seeing is the governments, the oligarchs, showing their hand about the world that they are preparing for us. And what is that world like? Well, first of all, in Indiana, religious services have been banned. So you can't go to church. But Pornhub now is offering a premium subscription free of cost to the people of Italy and everyone who's stuck inside with quarantine.
Okay, now the logic is getting a little twisted, as if the government of Indiana is working together with Pornhub in Italy. Hang on, it's not just religious gatherings that have been restricted, say, in Indiana and across America and in